Testament for 10 straight weeks, every first day of the week. So some brethren have hesitancy about that, so I decided to do it every other week. So we come to the third commandment this morning. And looking at the Ten Commandments overall is the greatness of the revelation of God, of Him, and of His expectations of people. Also, I guess if we could add another one to it, later on in Leviticus, the 19th chapter, Moses is giving sundry and other commands and things of that nature and gives another statement of this in Leviticus 19:12. He says, "And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord, name of your God. I am the Lord." So I want to talk about that for just a little bit, and the idea of the respect that we are to show in our speaking of and about and using the very name of God and what is expected of us. From the Bible's most general standpoint toward mankind, every person is in need of direction and instruction and clarity of life, and things of that nature. And so that's why the Bible is so powerful in that it addresses so much of our life. We all know Proverbs 14 and verse 12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are what? The ways of death." And that's kind of the difficult part of it. We might recognize a lot of dangerous things and that we could protect ourselves, but that's not what he's talking about. He said there are many things in this life, there are many ways that seem right to us, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we do need revelation from God, our thinking, our speaking, our acting, to be confined to a thus saith the Lord. Guidance must be from God. And this is probably one of the great places to where to begin about that guidance. Rule number three, or the command number three, "You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," is very simple. It means you be very careful about how you speak about God. Well, that works for a lot of things, doesn't it? You be careful how you speak about your mom and dad. You be careful about how you speak about heads of state or your dearest and most cherished. I mean, that works in so many ways, but God was particular in this one that along with those first two, you'll have no other gods. We talked about that one. And then you'll have no graven images. You'll not have pictures of God in your mind that is not in accordance with the will of God. God is not Santa Claus. He's not a soldier waiting for you to make a mistake or something like that. We are to confine our thoughts and our actions to the revelation of God. And this is where we start. When God brought a nation of slaves out of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, He first of all gave them these Ten Commandments. And of course, 1,000 years later, or more than that, 1,500 years later, Jesus would speak in a way in which he would explain the Ten Commandments as two basic rules. We'll talk about that later. But these were rules for living right before God. Maybe not the ways of the world, and the ways of the world were obviously many different thoughts, but it was how God expected them to think first, how to think, and then how to conduct themselves. No other gods and no other images in your mind about who God was or what something was represented by God. But then here in the third one, the third command, "You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And God's name means everything God is. It means God's place. It means God's authority, God's will. When you talk about God, you're talking about everything about God. And when we talk about God and we use God's name, it is important that we have in our mind the Jehovah of the Lord's people, the creator of of the universe. And when we don't respect that, he's not happy with it. Remember over in Matthew, the 12th chapter, I think it's about verse 30, Jesus says that every sin can be forgiven except one. And that's rebelling against the Holy Spirit and the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the mind of God. And the reason that can't be forgiven is because you've turned your back on the only thing that can bring you back to God. Look with me, and if you want to follow along, I won't use a lot of passages today, but Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, David there talks about, in a way that I think is wonderful with regard to what he wants us to understand. I'm sorry, 111, verse 9. He says this of God: He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. God's name is awesome. Everything about it, everything about him, everything about his will is indeed that majestic. Awesome. Whatever word you can think of that would translate that. He is glorious and glorious eternally. And I recognize that the Jewish people, like a lot of people do today, they kind of get hung up on the idea of the pronunciation of it, or making sure they say, and then they begin to play a series of words and games and things about they can pronounce something around or somewhere about God's. And that's what he's trying to head off. When we think of God, we think of him in the highest regard. We speak his words, and let's pray his thoughts. Let's pray his will for us. But when we speak of him, we better make sure what we're talking about is the truth. We're not talking about just cussing. Or down here in Texas, we'd say cussing. It's not just all he's talking about, and certainly that would be the most objectionable. Proverbs, the 10th chapter, look with me there. In Proverbs, the 10th chapter, Solomon is writing this, and he says, and this is such a great piece of advice, and that's what Proverbs is all about. Proverbs, the 10th chapter, verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. The righteous ones are those who would speak that which is becoming and acceptable with God and with everybody else, if they're intelligent. But it seems like the wicked are those who are perverse in their thinking. As a result, they're perverse in their speaking and in their describing of people. And Paul makes that same statement over in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verse 29. He talks about the way they should speak. He's talking about different kinds of things. Verse 25, put away lying. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin, nor give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but let him labor with his hands what is good, and that you may have something to give to whom is need. But in verse 29, again, he talks about the way we speak. He says, let no corrupt word, and again, the word corrupt means just rotten. That's about the best way to say it. Let no rotten word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, or what is good to the present circumstances, or in this context when we're talking about certain things. Let's make what we say be that which builds up and strengthens. Or it goes on to say that it may impart grace to the hearer. Not be destructive, not be tearing down, but showing something that is respectful. And yet, so many times in our society, our attitude is, or what we say is, well, there's nothing in a name. You know, yes, there is. We all understand that. But maybe people will say, well, there's nothing in a name. And they use that just as an excuse. And most of the time when they're talking about that, they're using God's name in vain. And God's just saying here, you be mighty careful about my name, who I am, and what I stand for. And that's kind of the point. I think it's one of the more simple commands when he says, I want you to do this and not do this. He says, a name does mean something. In Habakkuk, Habakkuk said, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. That kind of respect, that kind of majesty in his presence, whether we read his word or we go to him in prayer. And our society is so profane and so many things. Profane, like that word, profane. Again, the Latin word fanus, F-A-N-U-S, was the Latin word for temple. And to profanus, to profane, was to take something out of the temple and put it out in the streets. Take that which is holy and sacred and put it out in the streets. That was the picture. And he said, you'll not do that to my name, or I'll hold you accountable. And that's the point he wanted us to see. The very way our society profanes God and his name and everything about him. But God thunders here in this third commandment. He is saying, don't do that. You're showing a complete disregard for everything I am. If you can't even speak of me in the most proper way, none of us would want to be called a traitor, or a thief, or a liar, or an idiot, or somebody named their child Adolf Hitler, or something like that. I didn't know there are some states that have laws you can't name a child Adolf Hitler. I didn't know that. I just heard that recently. In scriptures, names mean things. Abram's name was changed to Abraham. Sarai, her name was changed to Sarah. And all of those names meant something. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Names mean things, especially in the Bible, because it's a revelation of the mind of God. Jesus' name meant something. You shall call his name Jesus, for he'll do what? He'll save his people from their sin. Or his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. And so many times we miss the point of the respect and the honor that should be shown to us. And we're not just talking about using Jehovah or the hundreds and hundreds of names of God that can be found throughout the Bible. It's not a magic word. It's not, again, we've talked before about this, it's not like something like Leviosa. It is a word that's sacred. It is a name that is holy. And that's the regard that we are to have for it. It forbids, this commandment forbids the use of God's name in anything short of truth and reality. Not in jokes, not in bypassing statements, not in any way we would think of it. When we talk about God, and we should talk about God often. But we be careful about how we say it. So much so how careful we should be in maybe misreading a passage of Scripture, because that's the Word of God. That very sense. That's the idea he wants us to have. And a generation that we live in today that prides itself in irreverence should set up and take notice. But many times they won't listen. He says, you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. We can understand that also. There are things forbidden by this commandment that is very short, and one of them is not just the idea of maybe taking the name and use it the way, but to respect its very point. God's name, his place, and I can't overemphasize it. His word, his will, his holiness. We will not make empty oaths. We will not make promises and flippantly call the name of God or use words out of the Bible, which is the word of God, in a nonchalant manner. All of these are commandments of the Lord, and they are to be respected. Why should we be careful about the way we speak about God's word? On the other hand, like I said, we should speak God, to God, and about God, and for God. On occasions that we have opportunity, we can call God as a witness. For example, in Galatians, is what Paul does. Galatians, the first chapter, you read down in verse 20, Paul makes this statement. Now, concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. If you look up the words there, he's calling God as a witness, which I don't think there's any harm in that whatsoever. Several other writers do it, and so does Paul. I just suggest to you that when we do that, we better make sure of what we're doing. The name of God is not to be trifled with. All of these commandments must be respected. It forbids a personal irreverence to God, that we speak his name in reverence. Not like what happens when Job has all of the troubles he has and his wife comes to him, and his wife of all things tells him to do what? She said, curse God and die. And he said, how could we do that? Hypocrisy, when one demeans the Lord's name, his places, his will, is not something that will bring forth the blessings of God when we plead for his help. And again, I'm appealing to you that we all understand we live in a society today when we have our national leaders who can openly rebel against everything in the Bible about the way we should conduct ourselves and then turn right around and pray for his deliverance when we have some tragedy that takes place. Just an open clash. Look with me in Acts, the second chapter. Acts, the second chapter, the Apostle Peter is speaking. And you recall one of the great statements he makes is after he quotes from Joel in Acts 2 and verse 21, and it should come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We ought to call on the name of the Lord. We are to be familiar with calling to the name of the Lord, speaking to Jesus in prayer, being comfortable to come to him in his appointed way. Or like over in the fourth chapter of Acts, where it just says, Peter again, verse 12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Not just saying the name Jesus, but recognizing he is the very source of salvation for mankind. We preach the truth. We exhort people to learn the truth, know it, and obey it, and then be able to pronounce the name of Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. He's the one who guides me. To be able to speak to God in prayer, what's one of the greatest privileges there is? Part of the prayer of Jesus. That's what Jesus meant for it. How to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? It means you respect it utterly. Recognize it for what it is. We will stand before him one day, and we will confess the name of Jesus, and we will bow the knee to Jesus. Every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow. And that we should speak of the Lord when we speak the truths of the Lord. Over in Colossians, the third chapter, you know this verse, no doubt. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all how? In the name of the Lord Jesus. And we talk about that means by the respecting of his authority, doing it for his honor, to his glory. Why are we doing this? To honor Jesus. To have the name of the Son of God close to our thoughts. To be able to recognize that this is how I conduct myself. And that if we live a life in the name of the Lord, then let's say so. Back in, where does David say that? Psalms 107. Let me look that up. Psalms 107. Yes. First couple of verses there. And the idea of having this on our tongue, our ability to be able to speak these precious, glorious names. Psalms 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Speak about the Lord. And you see that Lord there is capital L-O-R-D, or an indication of Jehovah or Yahweh. Jewish people never could decide on which way it was to be said. And there were some difficulties in the translation. As a matter of fact, about 150 years, 200 years before Jesus came to the earth, for the most part, the Jewish people quit attempting to speak that four-letter word you've seen before called the Tetragrammaton, the YHWH, because they never could agree on the translation into Greek, which came into Latin and came into English. And it was something. Anyway, the Jewish people wouldn't say it. They would say the other words, Adonai and Lord. And it was interesting that the high priest would only say this particular name here once a year when he went into the holy place to offer in the most holy place on one day every year. And after a while, they even ceased using it because did that to them. Although it was a personal name, they considered it a most holy name. So when we speak the name, I recognize sometimes, like in Colossians 3, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We do that by his authority. That's exactly right. But we're prepared to speak that name and say, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it, and this is to who we're doing it. And we should follow this very person. And that's what the Apostle Paul, or before he became the Apostle Paul, he was encouraged in Acts 22 and verse 16. He said, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and do what? Calling on the name of the Lord. And they would say, Paul, why are you doing what you're doing? Because I'm obeying the Lord. I'm obeying Jesus. I'm following Jesus. May my life reflect him. And we must be so very careful. Again, for us living in our society today, we got to be so very careful. We don't speak the names of the Lord, the designations of the Lord, his descriptions as jokes. These are holy. These are things of God. And Moses went on to say, nor shall you profane the name of your God. Profane it. Make it common. Make it a part of just everyday slander. No, it's not. It's holy. It's righteous. And he says, you shall not swear by my name falsely. He didn't say, don't swear by my name. He said, don't swear by my name falsely. And if you're going to call his name to support your statement, make sure what you're saying is the truth. That's the point. And that's why Paul was encouraged to arise and be baptized and call on the name of the Lord and could answer anybody anytime. Why are you doing what you're doing, Paul? Because of the Lord Jesus. Look with me over in Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians, the first chapter. And I think we might just end here. Philippians, the first chapter. Paul says in verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, or the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We don't take the name of the Lord in vain and use it in a way that's unworthy of him. We magnify the name of the Lord. That's what he's saying here in verse 20. With all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. And we've always talked about this. If you magnify something, what do you do to it? You make it bigger. That's what we're supposed to do. I think the Lord wanted us to speak His name. That the name of Jesus, the Lord, is very quickly in our conscience, and we can talk about it. But He wants us to be careful because we're speaking the name of the Lord. And at the very name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So when we talk about the Ten Commandments, we're talking about something that the nation of Israel was given, and it would take hundreds of years for them to develop, for which when we get to Matthew 22, Jesus is going to say, when they ask Him, what's the greatest commandment? And He said, the greatest commandment is to love your Lord, to love your Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two, the whole law hangs. But we'll talk about that when we get over there. But these Ten Commandments were given to the nation of Israel to identify them and have them identified with the Lord in the development of and the keeping of the will of the Lord and in glorifying Him and honoring Him. Unfortunately, sometimes they didn't do that. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, are you going to honor the Lord? And the amazing thing about it is that if you're going to become a child of God, if you're going to obey the gospel, if you're not going to tarry any longer, but you're going to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, you're going to put on the Lord. Excuse me. You're going to put on the Lord and you're going to wear His name. You're going to be called Christian. Are you a Christian? Yes. And that means so much. Yes, what do you mean yes? In every way. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. If you're subject to heaven's call this morning, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. Have the ability to stand and confess His name. Repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ. And then begin to walk a straight and narrow life for Him. For Him only. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come as we stand and sing?